guys. I didn't wear high heels this time, so I hope y'all can see me. I wanted to thank y'all so much for inviting us every year. It's always such an encouragement, and this year, wow, it's a lot of people here, a lot of new faces, and it's awesome. It's amazing to see. I wanted to thank you guys. The nursery workers. I really wanted to thank the nursery workers for taking my girls for a couple hours. It's been awesome, and I really, really appreciate it. I also wanted to take this time to thank Stevenati for opening their house to us and allowing us to stay with you guys. This past year has been a year of visitors. We've had a lot of visitors basically all year round. We had a brother named Eddie Keeley who came down for about three months. And he was a tremendous blessing. He came down right when we started the work on the north side, and he spoke very fluently, so that was a big bonus. And then we had Mark Miguel who came, who's one of Matt's friends from the church, and he was there for about 5 to 6 months. And also, huge blessing, and it's been great. So now it's your turn. Whoever wants to come from Texas, you all are welcome. Any of the youth, our house is open. We have enough room for all of you guys, so please come down. I promise you won't regret it. I know a lot of you have seen me grow up and know who I am, but those of you who don't, I grew up in Mexico as a missionary's daughter. My parents are John and Karen Castillo. So I grew up in the mission field, born and raised, and then I moved to San Antonio, Texas to pursue a career. But then I got married, so that didn't happen. Yeah. I got married to Matthew, who just spoke, and together we have three little girls. And 3, 2, and 1. So no wasting time. But ever since I was a little girl, I always had a very strong desire to serve the Lord in the ministry, specifically in the mission field. And I obviously never deemed myself worthy of that. I never thought, oh yeah, I can do it, you know? No, of course not. But I always had that longing in my heart to want to do more and to want to go out, and I knew the language, I spoke well, and all that. So I was just praying and praying. And as I got older, that dream kind of started fading away. Didn't really see it happening. And that was my fault. It was my lack of faith and my lack in trusting the Lord. But you know, he did it. He somehow sent me, and we got married, and now we're in Mexico working there. We've been there for almost 3 years this January, and it's been crazy. It's been fun. when I was a little girl, probably like 10 or 12, I remember a preacher, in one of the youth camps, preached about what you can give to the Lord. What can you give at this moment, right now, what can you give to the Lord? And what's holding you back from giving it? I need Christ. Whatever that is, I need Christ to help me. I can't do it alone. I have no strength of my own. God can use and do amazing things with whatever that is that you have to offer, but that requires for you to give it to him. Now, there are a multitude of examples in the Bible of amazing men and women who used what they had at their disposal at that certain time to praise the Lord or to give the glory to God. And the first one is in Exodus 15. Exodus 15 and in verse 20. Sorry, I have like terrible allergies. I'm so sorry. As soon as we crossed into Texas, I was bang hit by it like crazy. Exodus 15, verse 20 and 21 says, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a trimble in her hand, and all the women that went out after her with trimbles and with dances. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.'" And that story is incredible to me because she used what she had. She used what she had at that moment, which was a tambourine. She was ready and prepared to do what she could. She started to sing praises to the Lord. She grabbed her tambourine and she went out and she did what she could. And because of that, others followed her. All the women, it says, all the women came and worshiped with her. And that's incredible. And to think, like, you know, if she hadn't done that, maybe these women wouldn't have had that desire or spark or whatever it is to go out and sing praises to the Lord. So she used what she had. She used and she gave it all. She gave it her all. Colossians 3:16. It's a very well-known verse. I'm sure most of you can quote it. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." These are really sweet, beautiful methods that the Lord has given us to encourage or teach to brethren and to honor the Lord. I know I can't sing. I really can't. But who cares? You know, the Lord has given me a voice, and I'm going to use it for Him. Some may say, oh, I don't know how to use an instrument, or I don't know how to do this. Learn. It's very simple. We live in a day and age where we have YouTube. You can learn anything on YouTube. It's incredible. The next one is in 1 Samuel 17. I'm not going to read it. Everyone knows the story of David and Goliath. And if you read that story, you see that they offered David all the equipment that they thought he could use, which is fair. I mean, they didn't want to do it, so they said, here, let me give you this armor and you go, you know? But he didn't want it. He had never used any of that armor, so he wasn't familiar with it. We know that there was no magical powers in the stones that he used or the, what's it called? The sling that he used. We knew it was the Lord. It had to come from the Lord. If you tell that story to someone who isn't saved or has never heard the Bible, they're probably like, no, wait, that's ridiculous. That did not happen. But it did, and it came from the Lord. And another one I thought of is in 1 John, where we see the story of that little boy who gave the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishies, or fishes, sorry, mom of 3. even his disciples thought it wasn't going to be enough. And that's sad. That's really sad that the people that followed him day in, day out were doubting him. And honestly, so might I have if I had been in that situation. I know I overbuy food like crazy. And so to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, amazing. Another example is the widow who gave her 2 mites, which was her everything. And that's mentioned in Luke 21 and Mark 12. It seemed like absolutely nothing. It really did. I know probably some people thought, why even give it? But she cast in more than all those rich people, Jesus said. Another example is in 1 Kings 17, where we see the story of Elijah, where he was running out of food. He didn't have food, and so Jesus sent him to a widow, which, in my opinion, I'm like, why wouldn't you send him to, like, a king or someone who has enough or extra to give somebody else? But no, he sent him to a widow who was left with a child, and she was supposed to give him the last thing that she had. And imagine that as a mother, and if Matt were to somehow pass away and I was left with 3 little girls and I had to give the little bit that I had to some stranger, I mean, my first reaction would be like, no way, like absolutely not. But she gave it. She gave it all. And the Lord blessed her because of that. And my last example is the woman who had the alabaster box. It was said to her, to what purpose is this waste? What purpose is this waste? But we know the story. She gave it her all. And she's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. She has recognition from the Lord. She gave it her all. It's not about me. It's about God. I have to do what I can for the Lord. Even though I think, you know what, this is insignificant. Like playing the tambourine or standing up in an open meeting. It seems like, okay, you know, repetitious, whatever, doing it every time in the meeting. But no, it's those little things that amount to big things in the eyes of God. what do I have at my disposal, and what can I offer God right now? What can I have? What do I have to give Jesus? He doesn't want my leftovers. He doesn't want, okay, I gave all this, and I did all this for my work, or I did all this for whatever. Okay, now I'm going to give my 1 hour left to the Lord. Now I'm going to read my Bible real quick and then go to bed. No, make Him your first thing. I need to learn to every situation, the Lord comes first. He is deserving of my time and my efforts and everything. When we put what we have in God's hands, He will bless it. He will never leave me, and He loves the faith that you have in Him. Like I said, it might not be a lot in our eyes, but give it anyway and see what God does. Let's not hold back, and don't waste the opportunities to give it your all. I hope to make my life count for Him.